Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. We're now joined on the line by Dondo Bogajane. He is the CEO of the Motti Group. A very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jordan. Good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
Mr. Bogajane, you spoke, I think it was last week, to Howard Feldman about this ongoing litigation involving Amabungane and the Motti Group. And in fact, a month ago on your LinkedIn profile, you spoke about having achieved another legal victory for the Motti Group in the case against Amabungane. And you went on to say you wanted to clarify that you have never had any intention of silencing the media in any way, that your sole objective was to prevent Amabungane from publishing articles that were based on stolen and or altered documents. You went on to say, we hold great respect for the media, which is evident by the fact that you allowed journalists to attend a session without any objections, and that the Motti Group has not restricted any other media outlets from reporting on this matter. Now, obviously, what happened in court yesterday in terms of the judgment is the opposite of what happened a month ago. A month ago, you were successful, and now this has all been set aside. What are your views on the judgment that was released yesterday, and what is the way forward?
Thank you very much, Jeff. I think your summary of our views was well articulated, and I'm happy you actually doing that, because clearly that's what we said. And yes, the judgment yesterday, you know, obviously a bit disappointed. We would hope that obviously, the judge would look at our facts in totality, including everything and anything that we have included, including in our supplementary confidential affidavit. But obviously, the judge obviously looked at it differently. He wanted to, he looked at the, I'm of the view that the factual finding was not made on the position of stolen documents was not made. It was more the technical arrangements and aspects of the case per se, despite how one wants to view it. The legal options available, obviously, we'll look at them. We study the judgment in totality. We think the matter obviously can be and should be considered by the Constitutional Court. I'll tell you why I'm saying that. I think here is an issue that borders on rights. Privacy and some of the rights enshrined in the Constitution that in this way, the judgment has referred to. But anyway, of the view that there's no hierarchy of rights here under our Constitution. I think we've got the same rights as the media. And I'm confirming what you just said earlier on, that we're not about to actually, be, we are not against freedom of expression. We're not against freedom of the press. I think we fought hard, this democracy and we all enjoying it. We fought hard because, as you can remember, we used to say the pen is mightier than the sword. In the early days, we were barred from talking to the media. The media, had that, the apartheid government was too harsh on the media. So the Motti Group is not about to actually, stop the media from reporting on things. But the reality is that we've got a judgment. Which is not based on factual finding of possession of law or of stolen documents. And we have the view that we want to take that on and test that in the Constitutional Court when we're allowed.
Mr. Bogajane, when one looks at the previous judgment and this judgment, you've got two judges with completely differing opinions. And in fact, if one looks at some of the remarks made in yesterday's judgment, this judge was pretty scathing in respect of the previous judgment and went as far as to apply punitive cost orders against Motti Group. What are your views on these differing opinions, and what do we do to set the record straight if the courts are at loggerheads?
Yes, you see, I think law in itself, and I'm not a lawyer, but law itself is a very interesting area and field. One judge will view differently compared to the next judge. In this particular matter, ex parte application is allowable in the South African legal system. And there that if we feel, and we did go on an ex parte basis, by the way, and I must emphasize that, Chad, we went on an ex parte basis because Amabungane's confirmation that they have their journalists confirming that they're in possession of stolen documents, and they denied it initially, by the way. And only then, after attaching this article, then we went to the court. And you know, I don't want to criticize the judge, because no, it's not in my space. But I just want to lay a fact that is out there, and we know it, and not casting any aspersions in Judge Sutherland in this case. The reality is that the judge is the one who considered whether an ex parte application should be granted or not, because he applied. And he interacted with our request to be heard, through an ex parte process, and he was granted that, and the date was granted and the time by him in particular, and then obviously a different judge overseas looked at this, and then again the same judge ruled in this way, in the way he did. So. But our view is that, you know, it's possible in law that it's happening, and you can see it's happening now. And that's why we think all of these facts around them, including the weighing of the rights, including the hierarchy of rights, including the fact that we feel the whole matter was not heard in terms of, the judge applying himself on the issue of stolen documents. We have the view that there may be a higher court will hear us out here, because it's a matter that has got to do with rights of individuals, rights of companies, rights of the media. Because the precedent that it could be said is a very dangerous one. Let me give an example. It means I can go into high FM radio station and your company, because of any company in South Africa, and just steal documents. And after stealing these documents, the case then is opened against whoever steals the document. And then I pass them and claim that I'm a whistleblower, or claim that they are leaking the information to them when I have stolen them. And it means then, you know, this is a very bad precedent that the people can just steal and there's no repercussion. So in this way, we want even Clinton van Niekerk obviously to be brought on to justice, and we've opened a case against him. And we were of the view, and our court papers were very clear, that Amabungani are in possession of stolen documents and stolen property, and that Stephen and Clinton van Niekerk is not a whistleblower, because whistleblowers don't act in the way that he did. And we are of the view that he used this information for gain, for personal gain. He didn't use this information to draw the attention. And whether these documents, and we still remain of the view that, are these documents of an issue of public interest, or are they interesting to the public? So for me, I think, let everyone allow us to test. We are not saying the media is wrong to be reporting on wrong things, to be reporting on corruption, if there's any, to be reporting on anyone who's doing wrong things. But I think we should be given an opportunity as a company to go and test this in the constitutional court, and test this right to privacy was invaded in any way, because even Clinton van Niekerk stole our documents, and I can imagine what's in those documents, 4,000 documents, proprietary information, personal information, my information, as an example, I think my contract may be there, my personal documents may be there, birth certificates of Moti's children, his mother's death certificate, among many documents. And so for me, I think that an ideal, and I'm not saying, weighing the rights and balancing the rights here would have been an issue. Where the judge could have agreed, maybe said, anything that's of public interest, yes, let it be published. And anything that's personal, let it be returned. But here, it means like our information is out there. Our information may be sold for personal gain further by whoever has got it, including Clinton van Niekerk in particular. So the reality is, I think we have to weigh these things and make sure. And that's why we think going to the Constitutional Court in this case may be an option.
So that's my next point. That's the third time that you've mentioned the Constitutional Court. So should we be buckling up and getting ready to watch this play out further in the coming months? Do you believe that this case should go to the Constitutional Court?
Yes, I do believe it has to go to the Constitutional Court. And I think our legal partners will obviously, we have to look into this very closely and advise us. But as I'm saying, this is our initial reaction because we think the right to privacy has to be tested in there, and the whole hierarchy of rights is enshrined in the Constitution.
Mr. Mogajani, I do thank you for joining us this morning. And just a last observation, I think that this being played out in the media with this court case, which was the very first major court case to test media freedom in the new dispensation, has left little doubt in anybody's mind that there's this huge organization called the Motti Group. And from a brand perspective, everybody now knows the Motti Group.
Yes. Everybody knows the Motti Group. Everyone knows that the former Director General of the Treasury has joined the group. Everyone knows that the on a different note, maybe Chad. Maybe let me take this opportunity. On a different note, we are going to be an irritant to many businesses in South Africa and many people who believe that companies like a small family-owned company like ours cannot make it in the business world. I think me being there and being at the helm of this organization, of this company, clearly, we'll bring in good returns and good returns for Veda shareholders, good returns for the group and for personal, people individually who work in this company. We stand for great things. We stand to do good things in the work that we do, especially our reach into countries in the sub-Saharan Africa, making sure that our African Hero project succeeds, where we want to make a difference in the lives of people in healthy situations in countries, because we provide mobile clinics, we provide clinics, we'll partner with governments around, we'll do education, we'll provide buildings, using shipping containers as solutions, because some areas are bad, they cannot be accessible by road, etc. So we have to make a difference. On the business front, in the next few weeks, we'll hear some big, good announcements in terms of new acquisitions. On that front, we are moving. On that front, unfortunately, this case is delaying us making big, huge inroads on the business side to actually maximize the business and improve on our performance as a company. And all of that, I think, is coming through. But this case, unfortunately, is taking endless time, and we cannot focus on the business. But I can tell you, good things are coming our way, and we are on track to making sure that this company succeeds and then we become what I said will become. Because I said in my few interviews in the last couple of months, I said I want to reposition this group in South Africa to be part of the business landscape, to actually be part of the big business, small as it is, black business as it is. We want to make inroads. I want to make sure that we recognize in Africa for the good that we are going to do and partner with big guys that actually make a difference in Africa and actually be counted among the many companies that have to do work in sub-Saharan Africa. So that's my challenge.
Well, thank you for that.
It's a challenge for me, and I'm taking it up. But unfortunately, these leaked documents that were stolen by Clinton Fanikers, and I'm been done reporting on them and putting and casting aspersions in the work that I do, is for me a big problem.
Mr. Mogajani, thank you so much for your time this morning. Dondo Mogajani is the CEO of the Motti Group, and he was giving us an update on their reaction to the judgment in the Amabungani matter, which was delivered yesterday.